These are the letters, first from Marie Lambeck of Malvern, Pennsylvania. In this 21st century, a oneness of purpose and direction between intellect and faith is ever more critical. The theme of February's issue opens up several doors to such consideration, study and action. I'd be interested to consider more insights that wrestle with these ever-evolving global phenomena. And thank you for beginning the discussion with us, your readers and co-seekers of God's will for our times. This from Jonathan Ice of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. In New Ways to Proclaim the Gospel, David Chavez claims that technology can solve accessibility for people who are sight or hearing impaired. I suppose it can, but in my experience, it more often creates further barriers. I'm legally blind and usually have had dismal experiences with congregations that project their text and music on the screens, as this leaves me a mute non-participant. My current congregation is the lone exception, as they consistently make the material that is to be projected accessible to me by printing it out in a format I can read. Most churches, even ones of which I've been a member, don't go to that effort. This from Jan Womack of Murfreesboro, Illinois. Denise Rector has obviously suffered racism in her life, and that is inexcusable. However, there must be more to her encounter with the white woman who asked where she was from during the coffee hour. How did Denise know that her flawless, unaccented English was the reason for the question, and how does that make it a racist question? If I heard flawless, unaccented English from a person from the Deep South, for instance, I might be tempted to ask where she or he was from. The color of that person's skin would certainly have nothing to do with what my ears had heard. I'm probably missing something here, but sometimes it feels like people of color are too touchy. But then, I've never had to deal with their experiences either. This from Heinz Schlenkerman of Ossining, New York. I have a serious concern about Denise Rector's encounter with a white woman who asked her where she came from because she spoke so well. She felt there was an underlying racist assumption to her question. I'm curious where people are from and often ask that question. Recently, a woman, who was white, by the way, read in my church and spoke with a voice that I found particularly clear. At coffee time, I complimented her speaking voice and asked where she was from. I don't think she was offended, and I thought no harm in asking. In light of Ms. Rector's comment, under the same circumstances, would a woman of color have been offended? Would my question have been considered racist? This from Diane Smith of Brush Prairie, Washington. In response to a letter in the February 2020 issue, I too assumed that I was not a racist, nor was I privileged because of my white skin color. However, after participating in a class at our church where we have been reading and discussing Waking Up White by Debbie Irving, I realized I had been living in a bubble of privilege that I was unaware of. She documents her journey of how she became aware of the ways she was part of a society, culture, and history where people of color had been discriminated against in every possible way through government policies, the GI Bill, lending practices, just to name a few. She shares her story in a very personal and meaningful way with numerous references, which has helped me realize how my skin color had given me opportunities in life that I had taken for granted. As uncomfortable as these conversations can be sometimes, I believe there are also opportunities for growth, and I'm thankful for that.